Welcome, everybody. We are glad to have you for our town council meeting this evening, and would like to, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Mr. Standish, roll call.
Mayor Winfield.
Here.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Jones Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Standish, upcoming meeting announcements?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Stormwater Utility Commission will be meeting July 18th at 3 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. Then the Public Safety Personnel Retirement System Board will be meeting July 19th at 3 p.m. in the Kachina Conference Room, located in the Administration Building. The July 23rd Board of Adjustment meeting has been canceled. The Town Council will be holding a special session next week, July 24th at 6 p.m. at the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. And the address for that is 500 West Kaye Concordia. And then the Town Council will be holding another special session July 31st at 6 p.m. right here in the Council Chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Council reports. Bill or Joyce, do you have a report?
I don't. Not today.
No, I don't either, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll briefly report the Budget and Finance Commission meeting held a meeting yesterday evening. The agenda topic was golf. The commission members received a presentation from staff. They also presented some information or data that they had prepared for the meeting. That included some assumptions. They referred to it as a base case, and it laid out various things in terms of members and so forth. I believe that that information will be made available.
Yes, sir.
And I asked the town manager to circulate that information to members of the council. It also included a proposal from one of the commission members, Commission Member Newell, but it was a productive meeting, and I appreciate the work that went in and preparing for the meeting by the commission members and the discussion that that they provided. So that's my report, Town Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. First, just briefly, I wanted to congratulate our town staff for an outstanding job that they did on the 4th of July celebration. Many of us were there at the community. We heard wonderful responses from the community. A special shout out to Nick Scala, who was the on-scene person there, did a lot of the heavy lifting, but it was definitely a team effort. And also thanks to Golder Ranch, our partner in all of this. So multi-departmental, terrific job. And also to thank the residents for their feedback in a recent survey. We intend to make it even better next year. Also, just to piggyback on what the town clerk mentioned, I also wanted to mention that next week's special council meeting at the Church of the Nazarene will be live streamed. So the church has been wonderful. Their technical people have been working with our IT folks, and they have they've figured out a way to, in spite of the fact that it won't be in our system, make that meeting available. It will not be through our system, therefore we'll have a banner on the front page of the town's website, and people will just have to click on it and they will be able to view that meeting. And then finally, I'd like to ask the town clerk to please introduce our next artist.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. Mr. Mayor, members of council, tonight we are featuring new artwork on display in the council chambers and on the town's website by artist Sandra Mason. After moving to Grand Forks, North Dakota, Sandra enrolled in painting classes offered by Grand Forks Park District. She eventually became an instructor there in 1973 after her third child was born. Her favorite subjects are flowers, animals, water, and the desert. She grew up with the ocean and gardens of Long Island, New York, and lived in the mountains of Utah and Colorado. She and her husband, Earl, moved permanently from North Dakota to Tucson in 2016. And also, Sandra lives by the motto, learning to paint is learning to see. And I believe Sandra is here tonight.
Yeah, wonderful. Sandra, we're glad that you could join us this evening, and I agree with you about that observation about painting, and it helps you to see the colors and shades and textures, forms. So thank you for being with us this evening and having your art displayed here tonight. You're a talented individual. I'd just like to piggyback on Ms. Jacobs' comment about the July 4th activity. It was a wonderful event. For those of you that are in the room, I'm just curious, how many of you were able to attend? Well, it was a wonderful evening, and I appreciate the staff that were there. I think combined between parks and the police department, and of course Golden Ranch isn't part of the town staff, but nevertheless an important component of our community. I think there was in the neighborhood about 75 staff members that were supporting that. It was attended by what looked like a large number of people that were strewn in all nooks and crannies of James D. Creed Park, but it was a wonderful evening. I was especially grateful for the amount of activities for young people. There were jumping castles and balls that I think you could climb into and so forth. It was just it was a wonderful evening, so thank you. The agenda will remain as posted. I have one blue card for call to the audience, and before we invite that individual up, I'll read this statement. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, Mayor and Council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, Council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. So at this time, I'd like to invite Greg Kishi to come forward.
Okay, I'm speaking to the microphone here. I'll blast through the boilerplate, try and make my 3 minutes. My name is Greg Kishi. I've been a resident of Oro Valley for 28 years. I'm speaking to you today as president of the Villages of La Cañada Homeowners Association. Villages of La Cañada consists of 580 homes located approximately at the southeast corner of Lambert and La Cañada. Holes 10 through 14 of the Cañada Chorus run through the Villages of La Cañada. I have two topics to address. First, I would like the staff to review the cost of annually maintaining a fire break and any option that includes open space. I would request that the width of the maintained fire break not include the homeowner's backyards. Although this cost may be in the current projected costs, our HOA has found this cost to be higher than expected.
Greg, can I, yes. Let me just check in because sure. It sounds like there's, are we, yeah, well, ignore the right time out. I don't know what that clock does, but Bill and Joyce, are you able to hear Greg?
Yes, I can hear him.
Bill? Bill, I don't know if you're on mute or if we lost our connection with you. Joyce, if you could mute your phone, there's some background noise that is distracting. All right. Well,
okay.
I tried, Greg.
Second, I would like to register my objection to yesterday's Budget and Finance Commission meeting.
I don't know what's happening.
I'll pause. Oh, okay. In all my interactions with the town staff, I have formed the opinion that they are professional, extremely qualified, and very well informed. I particularly object to the manner last night in which the commission handled the analysis performed by the staff. Paraphrasing the chair, he did not understand how the staff's report could show a 36-hole golf operation having a lower net cost than an 18-hole operation. Then he proceeded to explain that he worked with another commission member on their own spreadsheet that shows the 18-hole operation having the lowest net cost. This has the appearance of the commission desiring a specific outcome, and when it did not come from the staff, they got the outcome by making their own spreadsheet. I do understand that there is work to do to clear up the discrepancies between the commission spreadsheet and the staff analysis. If, however, in the end, the spreadsheets do not match and you, the council, make a decision based on the commission spreadsheet, then you will appear to have made your decision with an incoming bias. And speaking of bias, I would also like to point out that the commission spreadsheet assumes that the holes in our neighborhood will be closed in all non-36-hole options without any cost to repurpose. My understanding through this entire process has been that if those holes are closed, that the town will restore them to natural desert. Dropping those holes also implies that if an 18-hole decision is made, the course choice has already been decided without community input. If neither of those is the case, I ask the council to have the spreadsheet revised. If it is your intent to signal that you are closing those holes, I would like to remind you that we have approached the town about these holes in the past, and there are some legal issues surrounding them that will have to be seriously considered before the town takes them out of golf usage. We will be sending a follow-up letter in the near future. Finally, the earliest the spreadsheet and the staff numbers can be reconciled in public is at the August 20th Budget and Finance meeting. I ask the council to not decide on the fate of the golf course until after that meeting. I also request that the council consider changing the July 24th and July 31st sessions to public input sessions only and remove the possible council action clause. That would be a good faith gesture that shows that the council is willing to wait until the numbers are in before deciding the fate of the golf course. Thank you.
Presentation one.
Proclamation, Drowning Impact Awareness Month.
I'd like to read the following proclamation. This is Drowning Impact Awareness Month. Whereas Arizona's future prosperity depends upon the long-term health, safety, and well-being of the nearly 2 million children and teens in our state, and whereas drowning is a top cause of injury and death for children and teens in Arizona, affecting not only the victims but also families, emergency personnel, and our society as a whole, and whereas research-proven strategies can save lives, including constant and capable supervision, restricting access to water, use of life jackets, swimming lessons for adults and children at the appropriate age, and rapid emergency response, including CPR. And whereas during the month of August, Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona, in collaboration with state and local governments, community organizations, and private citizens, will be engaging communities throughout Arizona in a coordinated and comprehensive response. Now, therefore, I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim August 2019 as Drowning Impact Awareness Month and urge all communities and citizens of Arizona to participate in efforts to reduce drowning risk, strengthen families, and protect children and teens. So this evening we have with us Tracy Kolaski, with the advisory council member with the Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona, who's here to accept the proclamation. And also in attendance is Rose and Ethan Bennett, and they're partners with the Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona. Are they with us this evening? No. So who's with you?
So this is Captain Adam Gerald, and he's with Golden Ranch Fire District. And the fire districts, the hospitals, law enforcement, swim schools, they're all members of the coalition, and we all have the same mission. So they're a huge partner in the August Drowning Impact Awareness Month.
Wonderful. And did you have anything you'd like to share?
Yes, so this is obviously a very important proclamation, and I appreciate Mr. Mayor and the council taking it on. We work very hard in the Golden Ranch Fire District to to work with our partners at the Drowning Prevention Coalition during our cool pool rules that we put on for all the first grade students in the fire district. We stress the ABCs of water safety. So A is adult supervision, B is barriers. We want to make sure there's fences around all the residential pools, and then C are the classes. We want to make sure the little ones are getting their swim classes, and we want to make sure all the adults are getting CPR classes. So.
I'd like to bring this proclamation down. Presentation two.
Presentation by the Town of Oro Valley and On Your Left Fitness to the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial LLC.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. On May 18th, the town and On Your Left Fitness, so this is Mark Stark, he's an Oro Valley resident and is a partner in many of our special events. Also his wife, Julie Stark, who's on a much needed vacation, so couldn't join us today. But it was our third annual event, and we were super excited about this one. There's some slides to check out the action. I know some of our council members participated. But last year we had over 220, and this year the event grew to 461 participants.
Nice.
And the big purpose of this event, obviously, is to promote and highlight and support our veterans, our first responders. But also part of the proceeds go to the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial. This event would not have been possible without Splendido, Davis Dentistry, Tucson Local Media, and Taco Bell. They're all our sponsors. And if our sponsors are here, if you can stand up.
So can you tell us who you are and with?
In the back. I'm Nancy Boyle, and I represent Splendido, and we have been the title sponsor for all 3 years of the event. And yeah. We have over 100 veterans that live at Splendido, nearly a third of our community, so it was a really fitting title sponsorship for us, and we're glad to do it, and are glad to do it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And then we want to thank Splendido, so Nancy, and then Logan, who's being shy behind me. I can see you. With Tucson Local Media, they have already agreed to support our fourth annual event. But I would like the Veterans LLC, so we've got Dick Egerding, Kurt Stell, and Kay Williams, if they could come up. So also, as you're coming up, we're wanting the council to be part of this presentation. Last year, we presented a check for $2,400. And again, because of the great participation, we'll be presenting a check for over $4,800.
Nice. Yay. So, Amanda, are they standing here and we're standing back here? Yes. Is that the plan? Okay, so fellow council members.
All right, you shots. 1, 2, 3. Great smile. 1 more. 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I ate that. Yes, I ran it and ate it.
Sure.
Thank you. Nancy, thank you.
Honorable Mayor and Council, I would be remiss if I didn't. First of all, I want to thank you, the Mayor and Vice Mayor, for even running in the thing. And you completed the course as I saw you come off the finish line, unless you cheated, but I don't think you did.
I did not cheat, but my wife came in before me.
So. Ah, that's wonderful. Well, really, and I want to thank Amanda Jacobs for all the hard work that she did as well. And I also want to thank our board member, Kay Williams, because she worked very, very, very hard on this project. Thanks again. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you.
Presentation three.
Presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2018-19 financial update through May 2019.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. I'm very pleased to report the financial status through the month of May this fiscal year, and happy to report that we're seeing a positive outlook in our funds, and the funds are exceeding expectations through this fiscal year so far. I have a brief presentation to just cover the highlights, starting with the general fund. In the general fund, through May of this fiscal year, we have collected revenues of $35.9 million this year through May, compared to collecting $34.5 million last year, compared to an adopted budget of $38.9 million in the general fund. In terms of expenditures, the general fund has seen expenditures of $34.5 million this fiscal year through May, compared to expenditures of $30.6 million last year at this time. Compared to a budget of $42 million adopted this fiscal year. Some of the highlights that we're seeing in the general fund, our local sales taxes are trending over budget year-end by $564,000, and that's due primarily to the collection of construction sales tax that we're seeing coming in from single-family residential construction and some commercial construction that's happening in our community. As well, license and permit revenues are trending over budget as well by $224,000 through estimates through fiscal year end. Our state shared revenues are also trending in a positive direction over budget by about $77,000, and that's largely due to the collections we're seeing from state shared sales taxes. And then overall, our revenues are estimated to end the year over budget by $843,000. Our expenditures are estimated to end the year under budget by about $2.2 million. A few of the areas that are contributing to this are, of course, the end of the Oro Valley Marketplace tax rebates that ended in December, saving $260,000 out of the fund this year. We also are able to avoid doing the subsidy transfer to the highway fund because of the revenues that we're seeing in the highway fund that are sufficient to fund the operations for this year. And then we're also seeing just savings throughout the rest of the department budgets in utilities, fleet maintenance, election costs, outside professional services, personnel, and just overall budget management by the departments. Our year-end fund balance is estimated to end the year at $16.6 million in the general fund. In the highway fund, we're seeing revenues collected at $3.4 million this fiscal year, compared to $3.2 million through the same time frame last fiscal year, compared to the adopted budget of $4.1 million for this year. Expenditures are at $2.9 million this year through May, compared to $3.3 million last year through the month of May. And the adopted budget for expenditures is $4.6 million in the highway fund this fiscal year. A few highlights that we're seeing in the highway fund. Our state shared highway fund user fund gas tax revenues are trending again over budget by $328,000. Overall, our revenues are estimated to end the year under budget by $227,000, and that's largely due to the need not to transfer in the subsidy transfer from general fund. Expenditures are estimated to end the year under budget by $312,000. This is largely due to a capital project, as I've mentioned before in prior months, the Safeway safety access to the Safeway Shopping Center is a project that's rolling over to next year's budget for about $250,000 of that capacity. Our year-end fund balance is estimated at $528,000 in this fund at end of year. And then finally, in our community center fund, we've collected $6.2 million in revenues through May, and that compares to the same amount that we've collected last year through this month at $6.2 million as well. And we've got an adopted budget in this fund of revenues totaling $6.7 million. And we've spent $5.4 million through the month of May compared to spending $5.9 million last year. And the adopted budget is $6.6 million in the fund for expenditures this year. Overall, in this fund, our total revenues are estimated to end the year over budget in a positive direction by about $22,000. And our total fund expenditures are estimated to end the year under budget by $315,000. Overall, the year-end fund balance is estimated to be $354,000. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have, Mr. Mayor, Council.
I have a question in regards to the Community Center Fund. The capital outlay, it shows the actual at $17,000 and budget at $50,000. As I've looked over past, I mean, this is not uncommon where we... The actual that was spent for capital is about half sometimes or significantly less. Can you just speak to that? What?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of council, in this particular category, we are seeing expenditures that are being captured in the month of June. To round out the fiscal year, there were projects that were being completed at the end of the year. For instance, one of the projects is removing the small pool and basically taking the small pool out, and that completed in June. As well, there was the construction of new pickleball courts that are also being completed and were completed in June, and so we're going to be seeing those invoices and those costs post in the June financials. And so those projects have been captured in the year-end financial or the year-end estimates totaling $107,000.
So when we'll see the June report, then it'll be in excess of what was budgeted for? Is that?
Yes, it will be, because we had savings in other areas of the budget, and we had available capacity within our existing adopted budget and the expenditures to plan for those projects and get those additional amenities, particularly the pickleball courts, completed this fiscal year.
So looking back at 2018, 2017, I mean, there was... the actual, and again, this is about capital outlay. The actual was $45,000. The budgeted was $94,000. In 17, the actual was $72,000 for capital outlay. The budgeted amount, that particular, was $527,000. So a significant difference. And then in 16, budgeted was $1,115,000. What was actually spent was $499,000. When I total these up, Ms. Lemos, the total comes to $634,000. And but we've had some recent documents provided to us where it talks about a $4.8 million in capital investments. Can you just help me reconcile the capital outlay that's described in the Community Center Fund versus some of the more recent information we've been provided with?
Absolutely. One of the biggest investments in that facility was $2 million in bonds that we issued to complete the energy efficiency improvements. And those improvements were budgeted in a separate capital fund. They weren't included in this Community Center Fund. And so that is added to that total of the $4.8 million or $4 million that you mentioned. So that was a significant bond-funded project to upgrade all of the HVAC systems in the facility, improve the efficiency of the pool system, and replace the golf course, one of the irrigation system pumps. And so that was $2 million towards that cost that was not captured in these budgets in the Community Center Fund.
Meaning it came out of the general fund to pay for that versus the half-cent sales tax? Or
No, those were the fund that the costs came out of was an energy efficiency fund. We created a separate fund in the budget to be able to expend those bond funds. And the debt service on those bonds were 15-year, 16-year bonds. The debt service that we're making on that the financing is coming out of the community center fund. And so part of the transfers out that you see in this fund, approximately $34,000 of the transfers out is going towards the debt service on those bonds. The other significant investment that is captured in the larger dollar amount that you mentioned is the financing of the golf course replacement of our golf course maintenance equipment. We financed a total of over, I believe, $1.5 million in brand new equipment to replace the aged equipment when we took over the facility. And so those lease costs, those are capital lease costs, are being paid for out of the capital lease line in the operating budget and the TRUN budget. And so those two larger components is what bumps up that total investment.
So the equipment leases, that line item, that's part of folded into the capital outlay? Is that what I'm understanding?
That is its own separate line to track the expenditure.
But in terms of getting to that $4.8 million, it's folded into
That total,
what we're calling capital improvements, right, which are the golf maintenance equipment, golf carts, so forth.
That is correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Other questions? Yep. Council Member Solomon?
If I recall correctly, that $2 million bond for the energy efficiency, wasn't there some type of payback on that due to the cost savings?
That is
correct. What was that?
That's correct. Because these were energy improvements, we had an energy outside energy consultant come in and study the improvements that were needed in the building, analyze the estimated energy savings that these improvements were going to generate, and this project ended up being a cost-neutral project to the town, whereby the energy savings that are derived from the improvements are sufficient enough to pay the debt service on these bonds. And we have had our first year of full operation of these improvements in place, and we have been those savings have been validated, and they are being measured and verified by our outside contractor, Train, and they report to us on an annual basis. In this past fiscal year, they confirmed that the energy savings covered the cost of the debt service.
So the $2 million capital improvement, which was the largest capital improvement, quote, at the community center, is actually not costing us $2 million. Because of the energy savings, it's coming out to, as you said, net zero. So in a way, you could say we didn't have $4.8 million in capital expenditures. We really had $2.8 million in capital expenditures, since we're saving money on the energy efficiency when all is said and done.
The overall net total is covered by the energy savings. I think for purposes of reporting the total capital investment, we wanted to make sure we captured that was a total capital investment outlay. And
right,
so that's why we added that to the total. But that is correct. It's those costs are being covered by the energy savings.
Right. I just want people to understand that $2 million was basically zero. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Nope.
Next item is the consent agenda. Okay. Entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda, items A through E.
Second.
Okay, so it's moved by Councilmember Solomon, seconded by Councilmember Pena. All in favor? Aye.
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 Thank you. We'll move to the regular agenda, item number one.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding an application for a Series 6 bar liquor license for All Seasons of Oro Valley, located at 1734 East Innovation Park Drive. Mr. Mayor, members of council, so we received the new application for the Series 6 license for the All Seasons of Ward Valley at 1734 East Innovation Park Drive. Mr. Anderson has submitted all necessary paperwork to the town and has paid for all associated fees related to the liquor license. The application was posted at the premises for 20 days as required under state law. No protests were received during that time period. The Town of Oro Valley Police Department has completed their standard background check on All Seasons, and Police Chief Danny Sharp is recommending approval on that license, and overall staff is recommending approval.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Standish. There is a public hearing associated with this item. I don't have any blue cards. Is there anybody wanting to speak to this topic? Seeing none, we'll close. So open the public hearing. Close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
I move to recommend approval of the issuance of a Series 6 liquor license to the Arizona Department of Liquor Licenses and Control for Ryan Whitner Anderson for All Seasons of Oro Valley located at 1734 East Innovation Park Drive.
I'll second.
Okay. Councilmember Nicholson moves. Second by Councilmember Solomon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. 7-0. Move to agenda item 2.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding an application for a new Series 12 restaurant liquor license for Charred Pie Wood Fired Pizza Kitchen located at 12125 North Orlica Road, Suite 105. Mr. Mayor, members of council, we received the application for the new Series 12 license for Charred Pie Wood Fired Pizza Kitchen at 12125 North Oracle Road, Suite 105. The applicant, Ms. Shapori, has submitted all the necessary paperwork to the Town of Oro Valley and Arizona Department of Liquor Licenses and Control and has paid all related fees. In accordance with state law, the application again was posted at the premises for 20 days and no protests were received during that time period. The Oro Valley Police Department has completed their standard background check, and Police Chief Danny Sharp has no objections to the approval of the Series 12 license, and staff is recommending approval.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. There's a public hearing associated with this agenda item. I'm opening the public hearing. I have no blue cards. Is there anybody present wanting to speak to this topic? Seeing and hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
I move to recommend approval of the issuance of a Series 12 liquor license to the Arizona State Department of Liquor License and Control for Lisa Louise Chapone for Charred Pie Wood Fired Pizza Kitchen located at 12125 North Oracle Road, Suite 105.
Second.
Councilmember Pena moves. Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. So it passes 7-0. Any future agenda items? Hearing none, and I have no blue cards. Would like to adjourn this regular session of our town council meeting. Someone like to make a motion? Or?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Vice Mayor moves. Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so we'd like to begin our study session, and item one of the study session, Mr. Standish.
Presentation by the Arizona Commerce Authority, Sun Corridor, Inc., and Pima County Economic Development staff, and possible discussion regarding economic development activities.
And I'd like to invite Councilmember Pena to introduce our topic this evening.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to welcome and thank you, the individuals that are going to be doing a presentation this evening to speak about regional economic development. A little bit of background as to how this presentation became to fruition is we had a board member from the Arizona Commerce Authority, Gary Abrams, who thought relationships are very important. He's an Oro Valley resident, and he said, you know what, let's get some individuals together because economic development is obviously very important to our business community, but also to the town council. And so he spearheaded a meeting with which Krista Garvey from the Arizona Commerce Authority attended, as well as Gary and Mary Jacobs, our town manager, Chris Cornelison, our assistant town manager, and J.J. Johnston, our executive director for community development for Oral Valley. One of the things that came out of this is how important the strategic plan is to the council and obviously the community economic development strategies that J.J. worked so diligently on with staff to formulate. And so it's important to the council. And so in putting this all together, we requested a study session so that we can learn more from our regional partners and be able to glean what their roles and partnerships are so that they can help us formulate a plan and continue to work together to really bring Oral Valley into a really good economic development stream. So with that, Mary Jacobs is going to introduce our presenters tonight. And once again, thank you for taking the time to come to Oral Valley. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mayor, and members of council, members of our community. We're really pleased to have three outstanding representatives of regional economic development here, and I'm going to introduce them in just one moment. The only reason why I'm speaking tonight is because our community and economic development director, J.J. Johnston, is out on an extended, a little bit longer medical leave than he had planned, and so we wish him well, and he'll be back very soon. But J.J. has a very strong working relationship with our regional economic development partners, and they have worked through a number of potential leads, regularly communicate, gotten their input in our future strategy, and economic development is very much a team sport. It is not an individual sport, and it's important that the town be aware of what's going on in the region. Because they support us. They send leads our way. We send them their way. It's important we know about the different incentives available at the Arizona Commerce Authority, at the state level, and all of our partners help us in that regard. So today, and I'll go ahead and introduce all of them, and then they will come up and do a brief presentation, and then really what we envision, Mayor and Council, is an opportunity for a dialogue, questions if you have them, or if there's any additional information that you would like to have. And at your next meeting on the 31st, the revised, or I should say shortened, comprehensive economic development strategy will come before you for adoption. So JJ will be in a position to review that again with you. So representing the Arizona Commerce Authority is Krista McGarvey. She is she's the Vice President of Business Expansion for the ACA, and she works for the state specifically and specifically assists companies to expand and grow operations by providing a variety of financial and technical assistance, workforce analysis, and just helping those businesses make connections. We also have from Pima County, we have John Moffitt, who is the director of Pima County Economic Development. I learned recently that John and I attended the same high school locally, maybe not the same year, but we did go to the same high school. And John has over 58 years in the information technology industry, over 45 years as president of international software development and IT consulting firms. And as the director at Pima County's Economic Development, his job really is to attract new jobs to the region and also the development of the 500-acre aerospace research campus that surrounds Raytheon, among other duties. And again, I'm making this very brief. And then finally, I want to introduce Joe Snell, who is the president and CEO of Sun Corridor. Joe brings over 30 years of experience leading regional private economic development organizations and communities of various sizes in different parts of the country. But he has been with Sun Corridor for about 10 years. Is that about right, Joe?
Too long,
right now. Yeah, 12 years, yes. And so, Joe, through his leadership, Sun Corridor has changed from what was the Tucson Regional Economic Development Organization to something that is more robust and more privately funded. And as you know, the town of Oro Valley is a member of Sun Corridor, and I represent the town on the board of directors. And I'm really pleased to say that the entire region now is a member of Sun Corridor, so that we are all, again, looking at this as a team sport. So I believe that, Krista, are you first? All right. So I'd like to, again, introduce Krista McGarvey with the Arizona Commerce Authority.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, members of council and the people in the audience. Thank you so much for having me.
Krista, can you move that a little closer? You got to really speak into it. Yeah.
Is that better?
That is better.
Is that
you really
better?
Have to get close to the mic, Chris. And it's so our folks that are listening outside of the chambers can hear our two council members that are phoning in. You can also raise that podium if that's
No. It's fine. I'm just seeing if I'm not sure how to operate this. So.
Oh,
this is
John's
Pima
first.
County. So
oh, okay.
I'm not sure where my slide presentation is.
Hold on.
Okay.
One moment.
You're in good hands.
I believe that. You notice I didn't say how many years I'd been anywhere, because I'm not going to age myself.
Are you a Tucsonian?
I am. I've been here since 95. Uh-huh. So, yeah, a good long time. And lived in the Oro Valley area as well. So welcome. Thank you again for having me. Do I go this way? Okay. There we go. So who are we? The Arizona Commerce Authority. For those of you who aren't familiar or haven't engaged with us recently, the Arizona Commerce Authority is a leading statewide economic development agency. We operate through a unique private-public partnership structure led by Governor Ducey. We believe we're the only economic development organization in the country that brings together private sector, academia, and all three branches of state government. Our number one job at the ACA is to create an economic environment where companies large and small, startups and corporate giants, can grow and expand across our state. To achieve this goal, we use a three-pronged approach of attracting and recruiting out-of-state companies, growing local companies, and helping entrepreneurs create new companies. Our five-year plan outlines our measure of success for enhancing Arizona's economic environment. The ACA will lead efforts to create 80,000 projected new jobs with a focus on high-wage target industries, increase the average wage of the jobs created to 150% of the state's 2017 medium wage, and attract $7 billion in capital investment to Arizona. In addition, we will elevate Arizona to a top five state as measured by entrepreneurial density, funding, and connectivity. And we will expand export revenues across target industries by 25% over 5 years. As part of achieving these goals, we focus on developing six export-based industries that create high-value jobs. Those are aerospace and defense, bioscience and healthcare, business and financial services, film and digital media, manufacturing and technology and innovation. We have also strategically identified target markets, which include California, as well as international markets of Mexico, Canada, Europe, and Asia. I am proud to say the results, we're again exceeding our goal. From 2011, when the ACA was established, to the end of our last fiscal year in 2018, the agency has worked more than 705 projects that are projected to create almost 120,000 direct jobs and an additional 272,000 indirect and induced jobs. That represents a capital investment of over $13 billion and an economic output of $164 billion, money into the Arizona economy. At the end of fiscal year 2019, which we just completed here in June, we are exceeding our yearly goals. To date, we've worked 100 projects with companies who have committed to creating 22,638 projected new jobs over the next 5 years. These jobs have an average wage of $64,714. This wage is 182% of the current median wage of $35,470, which reflects our organizational pillars to create higher value opportunities for Arizonans. In addition, these clients have committed to making $2.5 billion in capital investments into our communities. You can also see the industries in which these companies are operating. For example, the majority of projects closed this year from the business and financial services, technology and innovation, and bioscience and healthcare sectors. This shows you some of our client highlights. It'll give you a sense of the type of companies we're choosing, we're seeing choose Arizona, and you'll recognize some of them as some of our larger scale projects. And here's a continuation of that. The ACA's success is contributing to Arizona's economic momentum. These indicators are certainly helpful in continuing to attract more companies to the state. Why Arizona? All of this investment leads us to that one very important question. What sets up our state a place where companies of all sizes in all sectors can flourish? Governor Ducey and Arizona's elected officials have shaped Arizona into a hotbed for industry-driving innovation by encouraging new technologies and enacting several first-in-the-nation policies, including the ones on this slide. A great recent example of our state's dedication to building an innovation-driven economy is the Institute for Automated Mobility, IAM, which was created in October of last year through an executive order issued by Governor Ducey. By repealing overly burdensome regulations in Arizona, and Arizona eliminated 676 of those regulatory burdens in 2017, taxpayers have saved $48 million, as estimated by the Office of Economic Opportunity. Arizona offers immediate access to three of the world's largest economies, Mexico, which is the world's 17th largest economy globally, California, which ranks fourth, and Texas is 10th. When it comes to advancing any industry, emerging or established, talent is the key. With a highly skilled and available workforce, Arizona employs 3.3 million out of 7.4 million people. Our state is young, with an average age of 37.4, just below the national average. We're investing heavily in our workforce. Arizona's higher education system is geared towards producing the workforce required to keep Arizona companies expanding and innovating. There are more than 470,000 students enrolled in Arizona's 132 colleges, universities, and post-secondary schools. Exceptional quality of life. Need I say more? We all live it and breathe it and enjoy it here in Oro Valley. You'll hear that incentives don't necessarily drive a deal. However, I would say you would never bake a cake and not put frosting on it. Incentives are the frosting on a project when it comes to economic development. What we'll be working on through 2019. Our total pipeline by industry, this is our overall business attraction pipeline, which includes projects and companies our team is working on bringing to Arizona from other states and from other countries. There's a lot of information on that, and in respect to time, I'm not going to go into that, but I will provide this slide presentation to anyone who would like to go over it. Looking at our total attraction pipeline really helps paint the picture of exactly how the ACA works on a continual basis to grow Arizona's economy by helping businesses in high growth industries expand and create high value jobs. So what can we look for from Arizona's economy the rest of the year? The best word I can think of to describe our path through 2019 is growth. University of Arizona Economic and Business Research Center Director George Hammond sums it up quite well in his fourth quarter 2018 economic outlook update with, overall, Arizona is forecast to outpace the nation in all macroeconomic indicators. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to provide this economic update and sharing why Arizona continues to be the best place to live, work, and play. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
So there's two additional presentations, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Maybe we'll have questions after all the presentations.
I think that'd be great. If you want to wait in the front, Chris, that'd be great.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
And yes, we would like the PowerPoint that you presented. Yeah, thanks.
We have next. It, and we'll make sure it's available, Mr. Mayor. John, you ready? John Moffitt with Pima County.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you very much for inviting me. I want to clarify one thing. Mary Jacobs went to school many years after I did. I was in the first class, actually, to go through Catalina High School. So I'm glad she's a schoolmate but not a classmate.
It's a great magnet school. Now you probably know that. It's almost like many United Nations. There's over 50 languages spoken at Catalina High School.
Exactly right. Yeah, and I worked very hard this last year to make sure they didn't close it. So anyway, I'm very pleased to be here to help explain what's going on regionally. Certainly, Oro Valley and Pima County have been working together on a number of things for many years. And so we just finished. First of all, I wanted to congratulate you on this plan. This is excellent. Very well done. Very well thought out. Your seven goals and areas are very complementary to the region. So thanks for all that effort. Pima County just finished our economic development plan. It's not in this form. It's online, but will be printed here by the end of the week. But anyway, our main goals were to identify ways to overcome some of our limitations that affect...
Mr. Mayor, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but I'm having difficulty hearing John. If you can...
All right, I'll speak up. How's
thank
that?
You.
Is that better?
If you can get right to the mic. Okay. Thanks so much, John.
John, you can raise the podium. There's okay. Right on the top right.
How's that? Is that better?
Yes, right. Thank you.
Okay, so next slide, am I doing this? Sorry, not paying attention. We have a number of limitations in the area. I don't want to start off negative, but we need to find ways to overcome these limitations. And I'm going to talk about some of them a little bit later on how what we're doing. We certainly want to diversify our economy. Now, I'm a native. For many years, it was tourism and the military, and that was pretty much it. And we've done a pretty good job. Our certainly Sun Corridor's now got a very wide spectrum of folks and ACA that they're bringing into the community. But we need to diversify, not be very focused on one industry or one major area of income. Certainly, increasing the number of jobs is all, I say my job and JJ's job is a four-letter word, jobs. So we want to work on that. And disposable income. For a long time, we had a number of, we had high employment, but the jobs did not have a good disposable income. Your restaurants, your sales tax, congratulations, by the way, on all the numbers being up. But those things are directly related to disposable income. So we're really focused on trying to do that. The other thing is that our regional workforce, you read in the paper all the time that, that unemployment numbers are coming down, and that's a problem. And that a number of the companies here, including in Oro Valley, are trying to hire employees and they can't find them. They have to go out of the area. Makes it more expensive. One of our employers down at the airport brings in almost a third of their employees from outside. So that hurts their bottom line, makes us not as competitive with other locations. So diversifying and figuring out ways to get this regional workforce built up is a very critical thing. I'll talk more about that later. The other thing is, as we develop our funding sources, for a long time, everything that was done by a few local developers. What we're seeing now, I met with a company over the 4th of July holiday. They're willing to invest $1 billion in Pima County. This is a large financing firm out of Boston. So we're beginning to attract that kind of interest, which is critical to getting some of these projects done. And then the last thing on this slide is the creation of a regional identity. You know, we work together with Pinal County, who's your neighbor. Tim Knievel's down here quite often, my counterpart. We work together, not only within Pima County, but also our other counties. The Pima County hosts a meeting once a quarter of all of Cochise, Santa Cruz, Pinal, and Pima County entities. And we just had one last week. Under overcoming our limitations that I talked about, we want to maximize our available developable commercial land. Now, Oro Valley doesn't have a whole lot of developable commercial property, but it's important that you strategically develop that land and make sure you're looking at the goals that are in your plan and looking at disposable income and the best bet and the best strategy to move that forward. The other thing that I know JJ is working very hard on, and because he's working on it with Pima County, is the time for a company to move in. The time from them to show up on the door at the ACA or at Sun Corridor to the time they open the door and walk in is very important. That makes the decision quite often. The fact that it takes more time to go through permit reviews, zoning, those kind of things, is a negative if it takes a long time. So I know JJ's been focusing on permit review and speeding that up. The thing we're real proud of is on the Amazon building, 855,000 square feet, that project took exactly 1 year to do, and we reviewed all the plans in 4.5 days electronically. So those are the kind of things that he's working with us to do. The other thing is, you know, everybody talks about roads, but with the smart vehicles coming down the road, there's other factors. As you're building out new roads, and we work with PAG on this, but we need to have conduit because communications is the big deal now. To attract a company in that's a very high technology company, they need access to fiber, and they can get where they can get out on the internet. If you build a road and you put some conduit in right next to it, it doesn't cost very much while you're doing the road. You can pull that fiber through there very quickly. And we've been doing that throughout Pima County. Smart vehicles, you're going to see more and more of them. The university is a great driver in that area. Too Simple, which is out southeast of town, is heavy trucks. But you'll see more and more of that happening. So as you're planning your infrastructure, you need to start thinking about how to support all that. And working with the regional partners, PAG is very helpful. The county works on it, but so is the city and other folks. I mentioned workforce. These are some sobering statistics, being the old guy that I am. I'm someplace in this. But 20% of the workforce is due to retire in 10 years or less. So that'll make me 85 when I get out of here. But we do already have low unemployment. We've got to start priming that pipeline. We have underemployment still. Folks that got laid off in the recession, they're doing their jobs, but they've got higher level skills. we're working very hard on trying to reach into various industries and bring those folks out and get them back moving forward. One of the major issues from a construction standpoint and actually just maintenance of facilities is that the millennials are not showing much interest in the trades, plumbing, HVAC, those kind of things. So we're working with Pima College, JTED. Catalina actually has a program for the trades and to make sure that we are trying to prime that pump, get students involved. That's very important. The other thing is we've been Pima County Workforce Investment Board, which Oro Valley is a participant, works to bring about some of these change. We actually had a job fair about a month ago, where we had 52 companies show up. That shows you how many are looking for people, and 500 applicants. So those are the kind of numbers that we're seeing, and this was just recent. It's not historic. Education. I'm not going to read through this whole slide. But certainly the many jobs out there are to require post-secondary education, but it's not necessarily a college degree. There are a number of technology areas that don't require the higher education. STEM, you see that, the trades. I talked about JTED, Amphi School District, which is up here. It's been very good at it. Pima is moving forward. They just got the aviation sector approval, $15 million from the state, so they'll be expanding that because we have a growing need, unsatisfied there. University of Arizona, there are many things that are going on there, Bio5, which very directly affects all the biotech industry that you have up here. Aerospace, the mining technology, this has been a copper center for many, many decades. That continues to work. And the veterinary school that's hopefully soon to be approved and will show up up here. Why Oro Valley? Krista said, why Arizona? Well, some of the same things apply to Oro Valley. You have a great climate. You have a great lifestyle. The development services focus on timing and process, I think, is important. That brings companies in. Your university connection with all the projects that are going on, infrastructure investment, and when I say including data, I'm a computer guy, so I'm going to keep pushing the connectivity on fiber, but that's the lifeline of new industry, so you need to keep that in mind. And the other thing that we have is we do have competitive utility rates. I was at a data center meeting in Phoenix a couple months ago, and we are actually competitive with them as well. Why Oro Valley? Again, you're in a part of an MSA there's a million people in the general area, but we need to continue to bring those folks in. JJ talks about the number of people in Oro Valley that travel out as opposed to travel in to work. We need to continue as a team to work on making that better.
John, there may be some folks that don't know what the MSA acronym is.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Municipal Statistical Area.
Metropolitan.
Sorry. Say again?
Metropolitan.
There you go. Thank you. Statistical area. So it's the federal and state government use this to measure various economic and employment numbers. Thank you. Catching that. One of the critical things is the pool of talent. And we just talked about biotech. The Oro Valley Innovation Lab, where Pima County has partnered with Oro Valley to step up and start up this innovation lab, is critical. That's really, it's a good thing to do. That's really moving forward nicely. And I mentioned the vet school before, but tourism is one of the big things that Oro Valley has. You got beautiful scenery. You look, just look out here at the mountains, and you've got great resorts. So that's what I have to say. I appreciate your time. Sorry, I think I took a few more minutes than I should have.
John, it's all good. So just have a seat there with Chris, sure. And we'll invite Joe Snell to come forward.
Fit in airline seats, Mary. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Joe Snell, president of Sun Corridor, Inc., and a longtime Moreau Valley resident. I'm pleased to be here.
Joe, can you really talk right in the mic? So
yes, okay. Let me raise it further.
It goes slow. So
okay, I go slow. So
and that's fine. We're accustomed to it, but it does feel a little awkward when you're standing there waiting for that.
Is that better? Okay. Yes. Thank you for allowing me to share some words with you tonight. We've already had two very eloquent speakers, so I will be brief in my remarks. A little bit of a commercial. Sun Corridor, Inc., at its essence, we are a regional economic development group. We serve the region from everything from Phoenix south to the Mexican border. We actually have a Mexico City operation, so we do extend south the border. We're governed by a 72-member board of directors. That's very diverse from the vast majority are private CEOs, but we also have academic leaders on that board, both the presidents of ASU, the University of Arizona, and in the near future, NAU's president will be joining. So we have a very diverse academics and then government leaders. And we're thrilled that Mary Jacobs has joined the board. Great find with Mary. You better hang on to her. The last time I spoke to this council, I was thinking about it on the drive over, it was a very different time, different economy. Today, I'm pleased to report to you, we've awoken from that great nightmare, which was the Great Recession. And to remind you, in case you can't sleep tonight, how bad it was, Arizona, Tucson part of that, was a top five state for population growth, income growth, and job growth from 1950 to 2007. And then overnight, we fell near the bottom in all 50 states in all three categories. So it was a watershed moment for this state and for this region. And I think that no city got hit worse than Tucson. Over-reliance on home building, tourism, not enough diversity in the economy. But I'm pleased today, as I sit here, to tell you things are very, very different. The economy's on the upswing again. Jobs are being created. And most importantly, I spoke to a group of realtors the other day, and I asked them how it was going. They're selling homes. They're a really good barometer of where the economy is if the homes are selling. So we've made some significant progress in the last few years. We've seen a steady stream of companies either expanding or moving into the region. Big names like Home Goods, Caterpillar, Amazon, Raytheon, they've captured or garnered most of the headlines, but there have been many, many others that have set up shop in Arizona. I'm just pleased that the economy is humming for the first time in many years. I just read a report from PICOR last night that by mid-year, Tucson will be close to the heights of its employment that haven't been seen since the economic boom cycles of 1969 and 1998. So we finally have shedded the recession in this region. Sun Corridor, we're a humble group. We do our part. We don't do more than we do. There's a lot of people that Mary said it's a team sport. It takes a lot of people to make the economy happen. Our role is really narrow, and it's simple. It's to assist in the attraction and or expansion of primary companies. Okay, take you back to your economics lesson. We don't deal with retail because that's usually a side effect of primary companies. If Ventana shuts down their factory, nobody has any money to buy furniture. That's what we focus on. Two main areas that we operate in. We market Tucson, greater Tucson, southern Arizona, I should rephrase that, as a business center. And that is a big challenge for us. Because I can tell you that we are not thought of as a business center. When I first arrived out of Denver, one of the first things I did was I went around to people in southern Arizona, and it was 14 years ago, Mary, and I asked the question. I said, I did it in up Nora Valley as well. I said, how do you view Tucson as a business center? What's your perception of Tucson, southern Arizona? When I say Tucson, I mean the metro area. What do you view as southern Arizona as a business center? And the feedback was pretty clear. And it didn't shock me. People in southern Arizona said, well, we've got a great university. We've got okay roads. We've got wonderful weather, high quality of life. That's what people would think about us as a business center. And then I picked 10 competitor cities. And, you know, one of the challenges we have is our competitors aren't our peers. Our peer cities are Omaha, Albuquerque, cities like Oklahoma City. But our competitors are much larger cities. They're Denver, they're Phoenix, they're Seattle, they're Austin. So I went and picked the competitor cities. I said, what do you think of those cities as competitors, business centers? And here's what we said. We said, well, Austin was a neat little college town. Albuquerque was sort of dirty and dusty. Denver was cold and smoggy. Phoenix was the devil. We didn't like anything about Phoenix. Okay? We didn't like them. But what they didn't know is I inverted those questions back to all those other cities. And we had a big lunch at La Paloma. And we said, here's the findings. Because perceptions, as you know, as leaders, are reality. And here's what they said. They said, Austin is the best example where education, higher education, and industry coexist. Albuquerque was hyper-aggressive. Denver was a magnet for the creative class, drawing talent in the market. And Phoenix was number one in mind share for any Western expansion in the United States. Here's what they said about southern Arizona. Hot, old people, and okay university. Could have heard a gasp. So we know those perceptions aren't true, but the reality of what I'm trying to impart on you is we live in a world where perceptions are reality. So what do? We spend an awful lot of time marketing southern Arizona as a premier business center to remove those perceptions. And how do we do that with? 400 individuals make 90% of all relocation or expansion decisions, called site selectors. And what's exciting about that is if you can get in with those 400 and convince them that you're a good market, they're going to drive a lot of projects your way. Conversely, one of the challenges is if they don't like you and don't think you're an adequate market, it's hard to get them to change. So we spend a lot of time with that, and we do a lot of one-on-ones. We travel the country. We package every deal you've seen the last 3 years, and we hit them over and over and over and over again. And I had a mentor, the chairman of my board in Denver, Peter Coors, one time, taught me a very valuable lesson. He said, Joe, when you think they've heard it, do it 1,000 more times. So we repeat those kind of things. I refer to, you know, we do some bold stuff. A couple years ago, I call it the great cactus fiasco of 2016. We created a publicity stunt and reached out to Amazon and said we were going to send a cactus to their headquarters. That happened in about a three-hour conversation on a Saturday. And we didn't really going to send a cactus, but we made it look like that. And the reality is not everybody liked it, not everybody here. You know, that cactus is somewhere, it was going to be sold to a developer, but it's somewhere out at the Desert Museum. But what we were after is realizing we're not perceived as a business center, that we had to catch people's attention. So we average about 13 to 17 million impressions of Southern Arizona as a business center. The last 2 years, we've been averaging about 80 million. Because this story went on the Today Show, USA Today, New York Times, Seattle Times, Denver Post. I could go down the list, and it keeps coming. Found out yesterday that the Wall Street Journal, one of their key authors, is writing a book on unique marketing ideas. And we have a chapter on the cactus. So I'm giving you a couple of ideas of what we try to do and why we're doing it. So we're always pushing Tucson as a business center, and I think we've made substantial progress in changing that. So if the target audience is site selectors, we hit a home run 2 years ago. Because we went out and competed. You have to compete like wooing a corporation. It cost, I went to the board and I said, I'm going to spend a lot of money. I'm going to spend $250,000. But we ended up hosting the National Convention for Site Selectors in Southern Arizona. And we had a chance to bring Caterpillar deal to them, Amazon deal. And by the way, that for the lady in Phoenix that said Tucson's too dumb to get Amazon after that, we got two of them. We're going to have a third. So hope she writes that. But the reality is, you know, site selectors are important. We're hosting them all the time, and we listen to what they say. The other simple thing we do, it's not simple, is we're aggressive on the sales front. We earn our frequent flyer miles at Suncorridor. We're on planes all the time. And I don't know, you know, I'm not from here, but I'm now a longtime resident. But I was shocked when I got here because I think we were waiting for people to, you know, waiting for the phone to ring. We've got to go find these companies. So we are out and about. We utilize this big board we have of very powerful people. 90% of all employment south of the Gila River sits on the Suncorridor board. People say, why such a big board? Because they know I'm selling them. They need to hear from Taylor Lawrence or now Wes Kramer with Raytheon if they want to talk about aerospace. They should hear from Bobby Robbins at the University of Arizona about education. I'm not qualified. So we're selling all the time. We're taking these leaders on trips. And we invite you to go to one of these trips. We've taken someone from Moro Valley. We're going to New York. In October, and we'll bring 25, 30 people. It's really good for us because we can saturate a market with site selectors and hit it over a two-day period and leave an impression. So have the efforts paid off? They have. In the last several years, we've helped 168 companies either relocate or expand here, help facilitate the creation of 49,000, well, just about 50,000 new jobs in the region. With this company's invested $2.8 billion in capital investment with an economic impact to Southern Arizona of $24.75 billion. So we have to have metrics and drive it. Another couple things, John Moffitt mentioned it, another goal for us is to address gaps identified in the market, gaps identified by site selectors. So what did we hear the last couple years when we've had them in? Site selectors screamed at this. First of all, their comments were very positive. They like it. They said, we didn't know. We have never been here. We like Southern Arizona. Just never thought of it. So we said, give us critical feedback. And here's what they said. They said, fix your roads. They're bad shape. They are bad shape. They're terrible. Fix them. So what I cringed, somebody asked me the other day in a presentation, Joe, what keeps you up at night? I said, it's when our competitors pass their bond issues and we don't. You know, if we fall behind. Second thing we heard is they said there's too much raw land here. That's great. You got all this green belt. But we need buildings that we can move into because John mentioned it. Speed's an issue. The average time frame for a Caterpillar, it's about 8 months between the site search and the decision, sometimes a little longer. So we've got projects right now that want to move in 6 to 8 months, move in. Well, if we have to build it, it's tough. So they said to us, you got too much land. Create some more buildings. And then the biggest thing maybe that really hit us is they said there's no spec space in any form, office, industrial. Because one of the things in the Southern Arizona that's I found unique in doing this all over the country, we don't have many national developers. Really don't. We don't have the Forest Cities, the Prologis, these guys that come in and do massive developments on the commercial side. So I can tell you one of Suncorridor's key roles of this last year was to go out and attract national developers to build spec space. So we have Harsh Investment Properties out of Oregon. This building, we broke ground last November on 150,000 square foot spec space, and we're already got it half filled. The last thing I would mention is, which is really important to us, last April we announced a key partnership between Suncorridor and the Tucson Airport. We decided to combine our unique skill sets. They run a great airport, but it's been underutilized on the commercial development side. So long and short of it, our role is to help facilitate the commercial development out at Tucson Airport. And first few months were rough. We did a gap analysis, finding out what the asset base was, what we're selling. And we found out that we had a lot more work than we anticipated because we had to convert stuff from airport language to economic development language. It's a different language, different vernacular. So we pulled a lot of that together. We launched a marketing plan, a sales effort, and it's turned out to be pretty productive. In a few short months, we created 11 qualified projects. These are companies actually serious about relocating. Those companies represent about 2,000 jobs. And I can tell you what's really exciting is we're in the final stages of negotiations with two of them. So it's really the peanut butter and chocolate combination. You know, we're okay individually, we're better combined. And the last piece, maybe most important with the airport, is we launched a comprehensive economic development strategy called the Airport Blueprint, which is governed by a large steering committee. Frankly, it's a who's who of any power player in southern Arizona. Because you want that, because nobody's going to throw rocks at it when they sign off on these strategies. And we're going to unveil that September 12th. We'd love for you to be there and hear that because it's important. And we think there's going to be some changes because it's been a little bit of a missed opportunity at the airport on the commercial side. So I can go on forever. That's because I'm half Italian and that's just what we do. I will tell you, I agree with everybody up here. What's the future look like? I personally think the economy is going to stay strong for another year, year and a half. And then I don't know if we're going to hit recession, but I think we're going to hit a correction for sure. And it's why I tell our team all the time, if we don't operate like recessions tomorrow, we're failing. So we are putting gas in the tank all the time. I love Oro Valley. I think because I feel like after 14 years of paying taxes here and supporting it, we have got great assets up here. I love living here. My wife likes it. It's safe. It's clean. You've got a great team with the town staff. You really do. We work with a lot of them, and it's great. But I'd actually ask you to really consider, I read your recommendations on your plan, and I think they're really good. We got to have more land for commercial development. It's not enough. What you have, it's not going to work. So I would advise you to get more aggressive with that. More business parks. You know, I don't know when I first moved here, I was shocked. Because in southern Arizona, we think we have to have one biopark, one manufacturing park. Well, we need a plethora of them. And I hear that a lot with Oro Valley. People say, get us more opportunities, more land. And I was helping a group out of California speaking to this community, and I just said to them, what would you do if I brought you a company tomorrow? And I profiled the company. Where would you put them? And that's what we have to think about, and we're sure here to help. The last thing I would say, and it's not critical, but I want to deal with perceptions, is that I think you're on the right track, but Oro Valley has a increased perception of being difficult to deal with through the process. And I hear it a lot, and you don't want that. When I first arrived here, it was City of Tucson that had that perception. So the good news is, the bad news is you're up next, but the good news is you can correct it quickly. I thank you for what you do. I'm the son of a city manager, and mayors and councils, it's thankless at times. And you're doing great work, and Godspeed to you, and I'll shut up and take any questions you have. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, John. Thank you, Chris. And we will open it up to questions. I'd just like to begin by saying thank you to Councilmember Pena, who's really the catalyst for this evening's study session.
Thank you.
And so, Council.
Mr. Mayor, I'll start out with the questions. There was a couple of things that I found interesting. One of them was and this could be for all of you, I guess, but the industries that you talked about that are coming to the Pima County region, they're very large companies, and obviously housing is something that we see where we have these individuals wanting to live in Oro Valley, but they work outside Oro Valley. So how does that look for the future with Oro Valley's housing? I know we have X number of permits, but is it the desire going to be to continue to have housing for these companies? I think they're the centers of influence or the senior administrators. So do you want to speak to that and how that might look for us?
I'll make it up.
One of the primary things on their wish list for themselves and their families?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think Krista said it best, because people ask me all the time, what's driving companies? Is it incentives? It's people. It's talent. Talent drives all market decisions. And I could sure tell you when I was back in Denver, we saw that as early as 1990, and it's only progressed. Companies relocate or expand. There's no difference in their decision process where they can fill the jobs. So what goes into that criteria? You have to have good education system, you have to have good health care, and you have to have good adequate housing supply that's affordable. I think we're in a great position in southern Arizona because we still have housing. We got to build, keep up with it, but it's affordable. My old stomping grounds in Denver, it's a great place. But in the last 20 years, because of the investments made, it's become a hotbed. Denver's the most expensive inland market in the country outside the coast. So my daughter lives up there. My granddaughter lives up there. They're looking to bug out. So when we look at Caterpillar, and I'll give you, this is all public record. Caterpillar was looking at Phoenix, Denver, and Tucson. Tucson's housing costs and availability was one of the things that swung it that way, that and the proving grounds. So I don't know your housing inventory is, but it's not just single family housing. Communities that are whole need multifamily housing because we have to fill all levels of the economy. So it's important. But I don't think that Oro Valley just has to be a bedroom community where people live. Sure, they do, and I do. I commute somewhere else. I think this is a great place, and eventually we're going to have to create enough of an industrial base up here where the traffic is coming both ways. And I think that, and I've believed this for a long time, this place has an opportunity to be an economic juggernaut. You just got to find the recipe. And when I look at biotech, I went to Basel. I took Robert Shelton and I went to Basel to meet with Severin Schwan when Roche acquired Ventana. And they loved Oro Valley. They saw a future in Oro Valley. And I really do, I want to just stress this, but it's beyond biotech. My years in venture capital, I spent a lot in biotech. The challenge with biotech is everybody wants to do biotech. But this is an aerospace center as well. And so it's not just housing, it's build commercial parks too. If they were here, we could fill them. So I'll let anybody else comment if you want to.
You covered it really well. The one thing, and we're ganging up on you here, but if you want some of these companies to come, you've got to have space for them. We have a number of projects that we're talking to that need 15 acres, 20 acres, some 500 acres. I'm not talking about that. But you need to be able to bring some of these companies come in into here. The thing that Joe said it, but this community is the place that people want to live when they come here. When companies do the research, this is where the majority of their workers would prefer to live, which is great from a housing standpoint. But if you want to have jobs up here, then we've got to have more industrial parks. Innovation parks got to get expanded, or you've got to have other places for these companies to locate. So that's the main story. But you guys really are the rock star that when we talk to companies about where their folks would like to live, we point up here because this is the place to be.
I just have one more question, and I think this is directed at Krista. So with bioscience and research and development and healthcare, a lot of those companies, I believe, were located up in Phoenix. So would they expand and have smaller, what I would call smaller expansion companies down here in Tucson, especially, or in Oro Valley, because of the fact that we're going to be looking at getting the vet school. We've got the Oville, Oro Valley Innovation Labs. Oville is the acronym. Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like? Are some of those companies, because we're going to have that opportunity, would they be looking to come down here?
It definitely opens up the possibility. The development and what you're doing down here, I know that recently in our July newsletter for the ACA, they had a big write-up about Oville, and that was because I brought that to their attention. I look at myself as a conduit to the Phoenix. You hear everything about Maricopa, but we're a hidden gem down here. And it's not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. We're a very different socioeconomic town. And so I think it's very important that as we continue to grow and expand, open up parks and things like that both John and Joe talked about, I think that the possibility of those companies growing and expanding from Phoenix and moving down to this area are very real.
So what's the timeline on that? Now that we kind of have a timeline for what we're looking at here,
right.
What does that look like for them, knowing that that possibility is here? What do we need to be prepared for on a timeline to be able to...
Boy, I don't have a crystal ball. I know Joe and John doesn't either. That's kind of really hard. That's a hard question to answer because, you know, it really depends on a lot of the infrastructure and how things develop.
But I think the partnership with your organization and
absolutely.
Collectively is a benefit to us because we will get firsthand notice of that when that time comes.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I've been in Oro Valley since 95. I moved here from Ohio. And when I looked at the communities in the Tucson area, I chose Oro Valley. In fact, I worked in amphitheater schools for 10 years. I believed in it so much. And my kids are both graduates from local schools. So I think that it's very important that we just continue to partner. As Mary said, it's very much a team sport. And the fact that we have such a wonderful working relationship with Mary and JJ and the team here is just an asset to the Oro Valley community. So,
great. Thank you.
Thanks. Just one thing on Chris has said, and I think it's a really good question. When? When's the timing like? And I think it really depends, and when we talk about healthcare and biotech, it's a broad spectrum. So if we're talking about startup biotech, what's the group called again? The
Oval.
Oval. I'm on the board, and I don't remember the name. Oval. I think, you know, Oval's going to break ground pretty quick. I don't want to divulge anything, but... That could be happening quick. We already have companies in the pipeline looking at that. Healthcare is a whole different thing. You know, we need to be working with Peter Fine, with Banner, to see where, you know, Banner's going to have some. Judy Rich, how many clinics? So, I mean, that's a lot more indeterminate. And then the last is, on the biotech front, realizing what we're really good at in Oro Valley. It's not just biotech. It's diagnostics. So we have to target diagnostic companies, and we've got some ideas on that. And, you know, some of that's going to take more land, more buildings, things we went. So you're going to help determine how fast that happens.
It's diagnostics. It's aerospace.
Sure.
It's a partnership with the University of Arizona and the veterinary school.
You know, the supply chain of Raytheon, something we're looking at, just tapping into that could change the landscape of Oro Valley overnight. So.
Agreed. Joe, one thing I think it was you that mentioned that with the recession, the economy in Arizona, it sounded like it just collapsed.
Yeah.
We went from what, I think you said, from the fifth kind of
top
rating
five.
To,
yeah.
I wonder, I suspect a lot of the states must have, we probably had a lot of company down there at the bottom with that recession, right? But what's changed in our economy? I mean, recessions... There will be another recession, maybe not of that magnitude. But
I think the short answer is we're better diversified than we were.
So that was part of the problem, is just lack
of
diversity.
I also think, you know, I had my marketing vice president make me take this down. Chris is in our office. She knows. I had a sign above my desk that said, never waste a good crisis. She didn't like it, people walking in. But I think we hated to live through the recession. But the recession in some ways was a godsend for us in Arizona because we were a lazy state. Hmm. We were... Arizona was, and especially Tucson, we were gaining a ton of growth from in-migration. Take the United States, tip it east to west, and let people flow west. We've always outpaced the country in growth, 44% more than the nation as a whole since 1950. But the reality is we based an economy on home building. We spread these markets out. We didn't worry about water. And the recession forced us to take a look to say, uh-oh, we're going to have to go earn it now. We're going to have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. And we have the asset base. We've got a wonderful universities here. We've got, because of this in-migration, we have talent. Young talent, seasoned talent. You know, the joke in Sun Corridor is, I find out you're retired. Our former chair, Denny Manano, was the number three guy at GM. He came out here to retire. Well, you better not let us hear about it because you're not retiring. No. You're too young at 60. Because a lot of places can't do that. Cannot tap into that brain trust. So my whole point with that is, I think we're stronger coming out of this. I've had people ask me, can you point to where things changed in southern Arizona? I can. His boss and I worked on it. It's a company called Accelerate Diagnostics. Because in the recession, you could have heard crickets the number of deals that we were working at. My handicap dropped 5 notches that couple years. And when you're hungry, you're going to get aggressive. And what happened is diagnostics, if you don't know the company, they are trying to cure staph infections in hospital. More people die from staph infections than they do from they go in the hospital. So their principals, who had a lot to do with Fantana, said, listen, we're going to look at southern Arizona. We're going to look at Boulder, Colorado, which I know real well. I grew up in that area. And we're going to look at Ann Arbor, Michigan, college town, because this is really, you know, a lot of gray matter in this stuff. We figured out what's the driver. Well, the driver was they needed very specialized lab space, not the kind you see in chip manufacturing. When you're talking about stuff the CDC does, you're talking about pathogens that kill. Guess what? We didn't have any of that space. And my gut, because I got here right before the recession hit, told me we would have said before the recession, we don't have it. But we sat down, and Sandra Watson, I, and Chuck Huckleberry sat down. And it's funny, when you're hungry, we said, guess what? We don't have it. I can tell you, Boulder, you trip over that space. Ann Arbor, too. So we said, we'll build it. But the risk tolerance has changed. This was a startup. Now they're up to 400 people. So I know where it, then you get a little confidence, and then you head into the next one and say, we can win. So that's a long answer to your short question. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Other council?
I got one question for maybe everybody, but with the empty retail, I know there's some people taking like Kmart's, redeveloping them, sometimes doing smaller micro business structures. I know me and Dave talked about it a little bit, like our big five, like possibly putting a bunch of small businesses into these empty retail stores. Do you see much of that happening? Do you see that helping out with anything? Or is it because, obviously, biotech, you need specific lab space, but any other type of small jobs? Do we work with universities, try and help out innovators with incubation space? What do you see in those areas?
Well, clearly the trend in retail is going to continue. So finding, you know, productive uses of these spaces and repurposing these spaces is critical. You have a large marketplace up here where, you know, you have some vacancies. One of the things that we're seeing at Park Mall is they're taking the Sears, a bunch of the Sears store, not the whole thing, but it's being turned into an entertainment mall kind of thing. So, and we're seeing where other retail companies are coming in behind. You know, Toys R Us got rid of all their stores, and then everybody started picking them off because they had great locations. You have a great location up here. I think we need to look at how we repurpose and get these folks that are looking for other alternative uses. Adding more retail, I don't think is probably, you know, yes, you certainly want the bigger retailers if you can get them, but the other part of it is, and this is one of the things I had our zoning folks looking at, is, you know, if it's zoned retail, somebody comes in and wants to put a creative activity in there, well, it doesn't meet the zoning code. So now we're going to go through a battle for months or whatever. You've got to get ahead of that, and you've got to be flexible. You've got to have some of those opportunities where you can be more agile for those kinds of things. The other thing is, as the online stuff continues to grow, Amazon just built a distribution point at 29th and the freeway. They don't have one up here in this part of town. Well, go after it. You know, and it could certainly take some space in that. And you know, it could be a pickup point, but it could also be a distribution point for all of this area, even into northern or southern Pinal County. So there, you know, you need to be creative and think of some of the other opportunities. But you have a great facility up there. Oracle Road is a great retail opportunity. You have a lot of restaurants come and go. But you've got to be able to be flexible and allow them to, you don't want inappropriate use, but you do need to think about, as you're looking at your zoning and rezonings and those kind of things, how do you expedite some of this to get it from A to Z as quickly as you can? But I've worked with several of the retail, the real estate retail people, and they're not terribly worried about some of this stuff. We actually, retail businesses are pretty good from the standpoint they have good power, they have good great parking, they have good basic bones. So repurposing them into maybe even a light manufacturing, not heavy manufacturing, but a light manufacturing opportunity is something to think about. So, you know, don't try to focus it only back into the retail area. Did that address your question?
John, before you leave, okay, Vice Mayor Barrett.
Sorry, could I ask a question?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we struggle with in terms of land for commercial development here in Oro Valley is that it seems like our land is more valuable as housing to the landowner or the developer. And so what would you recommend that are like some strategies that we can develop? I mean, I think that we're working on that in our strategic plan that JJ's put together for us. But, you know, just in conjunction with that and the things that we already have been developing as a council to get that commercial land and keep it available and get it quickly available for businesses, what can we do when we're constantly seeing requests for housing on our commercial land?
Well, certainly, and again, you know, you've got a lot of state land here. We deal with state land a lot. Tucson is really, the city, the metropolitan area, is landlocked by state land. And so we work with them. We meet with them every quarter and talk about long-range planning, talk about industrial area. I have proposed state land for a couple of projects that Sun Corridor was working on for auto plants. I went to the state land department, said, nobody has 1,000 acres, but you do. Will you put it up? And they did. So I think talking to them about the mix, certainly the feedback that we have gotten is that they at least understand the commercialization issue versus the residential issue. Now you hit the tone, the term valuation, so you can get a little bit more money out of, you know, a bunch of homes on a piece of property. But again, what's the strategy? You know, right. Do you want to become a bedroom community, or do you want to have more commerce? And it's kind of in your hands. You know, and sometimes you have to, more is less is more. Mm-hmm. You got to see how that best fits what your strategy is and what that location is. If it's not on a major street or something like that, I think then it's something, you know, then residential maybe makes more sense.
Sure. Thank you. Maybe
can I add to that real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because, you know, when I teach a class at the university and I used to use SimCity. You're familiar with the game SimCity? And I have the students develop their town. And I preach balance. When I do my SimCity, there's so many factories you can't breathe. My point is, I understand the valuations, but you have to think long-term in this community. And you're going to have balance down the road. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, we haven't passed many bond issues. And I'm losing faith that we're going to get it done. Because it doesn't matter if Oro Valley's roads are good. Because I don't need to see a demarcation line to know when I cross over. Boom, 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 boom. So the reality is, this is my opinion, is great bedroom community. Keep selling to the home builders. They're going to do their thing. But when the traffic gets so bad, because we're not going to stop growing, when that happens, and if talent's driving market decisions, they're not going to pick this place anymore because it's too long of a drive to get to where they work. And we see this all the time happening in cities. So Albuquerque, just to our east, strategy in the 80s. If you know Albuquerque on the west side, Rio Rancho. Have you ever heard of Rio Rancho? Okay. One corridor to grow in New Mexico. They were selling homes like hotcakes in the 80s.
And the people out of AMREP Southwest out of New York were smart because they sat back and said, this is silly. Even in Albuquerque, about the same size as Tucson, they said, whew, we got a problem. Albuquerque, the west side and east side are divided by the Rio Grande River, and what they had was 90% of the jobs on the east side of the Rio Grande. But they had 100,000 people moving into the west side and two-lane bridges trying to carry those 100,000 people to work. So they knew that the agenda was to keep selling homes. But to do that, we're going to have to create some jobs on this side of the river. So that would be my only addition to what John said of why.
Okay, thanks. I wonder if you know, there's any role that you and your organizations can play as an ally for the town of Oro Valley in terms of, you know, discussions with state lands or otherwise about having more than just homes on those parcels moving forward. Because that's certainly a message that I feel like we've been trying to deliver. And so, anyway, you mentioned you've had some conversations with them. So, you know, I think that that's something worth maybe exploring or looking into.
Well, I already opened my mouth and said we talk to state land all the time. But,
that's kind of why
My feeling is that they, you know, and more recently than earlier, to be very honest, you know, when the railroad yard was going in up by Picacho and stuff, there was a much different approach to. The current state land commissioner does understand commerce. She does understand the economy. And certainly there is, you know, the city meets with them. The same, you know, when they come to Tucson, we both meet with them. Not together, but we could. If you want to sit in on one of our meetings, or we certainly can introduce those concepts to their planners and those kind of folks. But this remember that this is also a political environment. Sure. So I think you need to also think about how you impact the through the governor's office, because this is directly through the governor's office. He's very pro-economic development. So find out what he likes, figure out a way to take that road, and sit down and meet with him. I'll be glad to broker a meeting. I think certainly, you know, the land, you're somewhat, you can't go up the mountain, but you're somewhat surrounded also. Mm-hmm. So one of the answers to this, and it's maybe not a good answer that anybody wants to hear, is annexation, where you can move out into some areas that you do not, you know, right now you got a couple hundred acres max. Well, maybe you master plan and move out into some of these other areas, annex, in cooperation with state land. At Pinal Air Park, state land just worked with Pinal County to rezone and master plan all the acreage between the air park and the freeway. So, I mean, they are willing to do this kind of stuff. I think they just need to be approached appropriately, and we'll be glad to help.
Other questions?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I just have a question on incentives. That's a word that comes up quite a bit. And so for us to be identify what our needs are as far as what we need to do with incentives, what do you recommend? Because we could have a smorgasbord, and what incentives work maybe in certain regions may not work for us. So what would you see with some of the industries that would look at Oro Valley, and what would those incentives look like if we had some primary ones that you would recommend?
Answer it. I think incentives are a misnomer. Are they important? Yes, but they fall way down the list. Okay? Because if you can demonstrate that you can fill a company's labor needs, you've won. Remember, at the heart of the recession in 2010, Raytheon Missile Systems had 700 job openings, high paid. They couldn't find the people to fill them. Okay, so that's really an issue. But I'm not a retail or a municipal incentive expert. An incentive is your permitting process. Guarantee they can get through it, shovel ready in X number of days, because it's costing them money. So sometimes it's not a magic bullet. It's speed, you know, is money in the private sector. So that's one thing to consider. The second thing is you talk about these retail centers. And, you know, there's some people that, like Don Bourne, you know, you should probably see Bourne Realty. I'd love for Don to come chat with you sometime because he's a really, he owns now the Foothills Mall. He's a fraternity brother of mine way back. We don't talk about those days. But, you know, a guy like Don would have an idea for you on some of these incentives. But I could see a pool that companies could draw from because those tenant improvements could be significant for a company to come in and retrofit a grocery store to a manufacturing facility. So I think thinking out of the box, and I think, Mary, you and JJ have some ideas on some incentives. Sales tax rebate programs, I think the city of Tucson has one of those. A certain percent of their sales tax is given back. I don't know. But I just want to stress to you, I think I'd really look at my permitting. If you could guarantee me, and I'm a reformed developer, that, listen, I'll get you from cradle to grave in X number of time. If you follow the rules, that's worth a lot of money to me. So that's my
opinion. And we are, Joe. I mean, yeah. That's definitely a priority. I know JJ is advancing that, and in terms of digitizing and so on and so forth. So it's definitely, and as I talk with different individuals in the business community, I mean, I ask that question: Why is it that Oral Valley has that perception about not being business friendly? And it, I mean, it always comes back to that permitting. And it's definitely on our radar screen. It's on JJ's. And I don't want to, I think our permitting folks, I mean, they do a good job.
Do a great job.
But we got the message.
But you know, and I think you're right. They do a great job. It's, I always tell our team, it's, we're in the business of why we can, not why we can't. Mm-hmm. And once you embrace the yep. can, you know, so, and I congratulate you on that. The other thing I forgot is, as you develop land and annex or whatever you want to do, start thinking about the foreign trade zone. Because what that can do for Sakura Plain, those kind of areas, you can create a zone where there's tariff relief for these companies inside of Oro Valley. It doesn't cost you anything, but we can help you with that because Sun Corridor runs a foreign trade zone for all of southern Arizona. So just creative ideas like that. And that does make a difference when you're dealing with an aerospace company that says, you know, hey, this side of the road, no foreign trade zone. This side has one.
I think it's just about showing what value we can bring to the table
exactly.
for what works for us that we identify. Yeah. Thank you.
I guess it would be kind of, I guess, for Joe, too. But, like, obviously, Oro Valley, we have wants and needs for certain specific aesthetics yeah. and also heights of buildings and way things look. Like, that's part of Oro Valley. Is there a way, like, maybe, and this may be for Mary, too, but, like, with zoning stuff where we have, like, pre-approved packages, like A, B, C, and D, like, these are different ideas that we think that we could possibly do, and then you guys go search out with site selectors, like, look, Oro Valley, here's A, B, C, and D that's already been approved by, like, the citizens. Citizens think these plans are good, and it doesn't mess up our views as much, and then it's, we can get this done in 90 days. We can get it ready and maybe have contractors ready to... I don't know how that yeah. process would look like, but maybe there's something where we work with our citizens, like, hey, what kind of things can you guys stomach as far as views, and what's okay with you, and then have some pre-packaged plans where people can come in and be like, hey, we have A, B, C, and D type plans. We're ready to go. You can strike, hit the ground running type of stuff. But.
Well, I don't know Mary's an expert. I'm on the wrong side of that equation. I will tell you, though, that it's back to the will. There are plenty of communities that make commitments, say, listen, we're going to do a shovel-ready process so that if within this zone, this business park, if you meet these criteria, so you do put it back on the company, you only build to this height, you know, you set the criteria, what we're going to guarantee for you is an expedited process. And I will give you an example. When I first started my career in Albuquerque, we could do cradle to grave, tilt up manufacturing in 90 days, give you the keys and build the building. So speed is relative. I haven't seen that anywhere else. But we're motivated. So I don't think Oro Valley's going to have that kind of speed, nor should they, because I live here and I don't want to see crap going up. joking. But the reality is, yeah, there's a lot of that. And it, you know, we've done some of that. You need to talk to the developers to say, what do you need? Town says what they need, and they find a process in that. Yeah, very doable.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Rodman.
Yes, I'm sorry. A couple of things. I think that much of this not being business friendly is still a tail wagging a dog from quite some time ago. Again, you can take a particular instance and say, okay, it didn't move as fast as we might. You try to look into it and see which it is, how much was the company, how much might have been something that fell through the cracks or whatever. But I think I'm asking the three of you to help us on this, because we've done a number of things. We've merged the Conceptual Design Review Board into the Planning and Zoning Commission, so there wasn't another step that oftentimes was simply being redundant and simply going over what had already been done. I know that, in fact, our staff does everything it knows how to do in order to move these things more quickly, and I know JJ's been working. So I would ask that you spend a little time with our folks, maybe, because you can be so helpful with us. You're the ones that are talking to these folks, perhaps before our people do, and satisfy yourself that this non-business friendly stuff is really much more of a thing of the past. We are not going to get out of the ground on a big new commercial thing as fast as some other place, maybe. I mean, that's one of the reasons we want to live in Oral Valley, is that we actually do be careful on what we approve and where we approve it and how we approve it. But at the same time, I would urge you to spend some more time with JJ and that whole staff as to what they've done. The mayor mentioned the digitizing, which we're in the process of. I think you'll find that much of that reputation is not deserved anymore. And you could certainly be helpful, and I appreciate everything that you do for us, but I'd urge you to find out for yourselves.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to speak for John and Krista. I know you absolutely will help in any way we can. It's in our best interest. And I believe you. I believe it could be in the past. The problem is we've got to change the perception. That's going to take some time, and we can help with that. So.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
I just wanted to add, we also have our economic expansion zone, yeah, which, you know, is kind of the areas that are intended for employment, and they're subject to faster permitting and, things like that.
Right.
And we've expanded that to all of our tech park zoned areas and things like that. So I do agree with Councilmember Rodman. But I think that we've taken a number of steps in the past few years and are continuing to take those steps moving forward. So as much as we can eliminate that perception, that would be helpful, yeah.
Councilmember Nicholson?
One other thing, too. What about, I know meeting site selectors, that's really important. And obviously marketing, everything's visual. Can we make like a two-minute elevator speech for Oro Valley, like showing... Maybe a video, maybe if we can get some of the employers, big employers here, like, hey, this is why we moved to Oro Valley. Oro Valley is awesome. Show our park, show our mountains, show off some things that we can do, like short snippet video that we can email these people.
Sure, you make it, and I'll put it on our website, and I'll send it to site selectors.
Yeah, okay.
But I think you're on the right track, council member, because I'd ask you the question, and you give me the elevator. I mean, I give you the Sun Corridor elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Give me the town of Oro Valley elevator pitch.
Yeah.
What are you selling? And I'd love to help you with it. I live here. Yeah. This is a lot to sell here.
Not technology,
it can't necessarily, you know, the quality of life thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story if you'll indulge me. As I did a lot of site selection between the Denver and the venture capital years that I worked. And I was working for a large company that wanted to be in the Western U.S. And they really, you know how it goes, they like three key cities. They like Boise. They led smaller cities, Sacramento, somewhere else. And they really needed to be in these areas. And being a former Chamber of Commerce guy and economic developer, I went in, I never forget, sat down with the government officials, the business officials, and I said, gosh, we're going to put this company in one of your three cities, 1,000 people, and congratulations. You've won the quality of life sweepstakes. We've determined that, you fill in the blank, Boise, Sacramento, whatever it was, you're to have the best quality of life in the country. I said, they went great. I said, so give us a proposal. Here's our RFP, and don't mention quality of life. They couldn't do it. Got to get to the business case is what I'm getting to. So.
Other I know, Ms. Jacobs, you wanted to make a comment. I would just like to kind of speak. Annexation has come up a few different times, almost in a negative sense. I never quite understand that because it's a tool that all communities use. When our community was incorporated in 1974, it was a square mile or two. We wouldn't be what we are today if it wasn't for the tool of annexation. And in our strategic leadership plan, we have a goal that speaks to that in terms of developing what we refer to as an annexation blueprint. And so we're looking at all opportunities, again, that really, you know, make sense environmentally, economically, and socially. And but annexation is something that we are definitely supportive. I just wanted to get that out there because, John, it looked like maybe you, did I cut you off?
I just wanted to add to the image, the modifying the image. One of the things that we have a piece of property over on the freeway that we kept getting all kinds of different attitudes and everything. So we just invited all the developers, literally. I mean, we had all the major developers, including three or four from Phoenix, come down to look at this parcel. And this is an opportunity that you might be able to take to, you know, number one, you have a great plan. I think it needs to be, it's pretty well known here, but is it well known in the development community? So you might take a positive approach and have a three or four hour meeting, roll out some of the stuff that you've already done and that you're doing, to overcome some of this to where, you know, you inform and educate these developers. So, you know, we can certainly help try to put that word out, but I think that what you're doing is right on track. You just need to make more people aware of it.
And I suspect we are through staff, but Ms. Jacobs, did you have?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I just want to say that first of all, really appreciate the remarks and comments and also the excellent questions that the council has asked this evening. Certainly bringing JJ on board and actually having a strategy now that goes really in depth. Many of the things you all talked about are in our upcoming goals, marketing strategy, to really get the word out, the incentives, looking at ways that we can modify our codes so that some of our existing spaces can be used for things like light manufacturing, and those are all in the works. And so we're really excited to be bringing those back to the council here, over the next couple of months, the things that require your attention. And of course, hearing the comments from council. This also helps us when we're talking with our, when we're talking with developers. And so I know personally, just getting out, JJ has brought me to meetings with PICOR. We've met with their president and, you know, talked about what it is we have to offer. And he works very, very closely with all of the different realtors, developers, investors, that sort of thing. I believe he told me recently he had somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 leads right now, some of them which are more serious than that. And that's really good for us. And that's a very time-consuming thing. But I think I heard Joe say that you got to go after him.
Right.
And you have to really, it is a very... it's a very competitive process, and so we have to be in front of them. And JJ, as a former site selector, he talks the talk, and he's a wonderful representative of the town of Oro Valley when it comes to describing in site selectorese what it is that a potential business is looking for, and then of course working with our partners, talking about those workforce issues and everything. So, you know, we're in the beginning of that flywheel continuing to move, and I think it'll generate additional steam as we get some of these other things accomplished. But it's a really exciting time, I think, in Oro Valley's economic growth. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, I agree. So with that, again, I'd like to just acknowledge Councilmember Pena, who's really the catalyst for this evening.
Thank you, and I'd like to thank the three of you. I don't think people really realize how important important this is, because all of you hold really important positions that can help us and partner with us. So, and to take that time to be here, it's greatly appreciated, I think, on behalf of council and our staff. So thanks again. And we look forward to continuing this. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Krista, John, Joe, we're glad to be a part of your team.
Krista and I office together.
And you're, are you still a resident of Oro Valley, Krista?
Oh, just the last. So I was until the last 4 years. I just moved over to the Dove Mountain area.
Uh-huh.
So don't hold that against me.
Not at all.
Okay,
we're
like
all
Miranda.
One big happy family.
Live, work, and play here in Oro Valley.
Yeah, Mayor Mahoney's a good man.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Commissioner Newell, it looked like you had a comment. It sounds like that's not part of our program tonight, but I apologize. Anyway, thank you, everybody. We'll close our study session. Thanks.
Thank you.